नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ 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 नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय persons too involved in the bodily conception of life. Ajnana prabhava, Ajnana prabhava,
because of the great influence of ignorance.
Because of the great influence of ignorance.
Manyu,
Manyu,
anger,
anger.
Ahammana,
Ahammana,
by egotism.
By egotism.
Upabrimhita,
Upabrimhita,
expanded.
Expanded.
Translation. Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. Purport. Generally speaking, even though the conditioned soul is angry, his anger is not perpetual but temporary. It is due to the influence of ignorance. Hiranyakashipu, however, maintained his enmity and his anger against Lord Vishnu until the point of death. He never forgot his vengeful attitude towards Vishnu for having killed his brother, Hiranyaksha. Others in the bodily concept of life are angry at their enemies, but not at Lord Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu, however, was everlastingly angry. He was angry not only because of false prestige, but also because of continuous enmity towards Lord Vishnu. So, Vamana Dev is pointing out the glories of the family line that Bali Maharaj is in. This is a natural thing. They are religious persons, so then they will be glorified. Also, since he's coming and begging from him, it is natural to appreciate that or reciprocate with that. That is the one begging, then it's in Sanskrit is called mrita, that it is death. Because one must, be humble. Then one must, be appreciative, glorify, these are the things. So in this way, it is very humbling. So it's like death. So here, Vamanadev is then performing these duties properly. He is coming, he is glorifying, he is praising, because he's a king. If he is just going door to door in the village, then there's no need of this. One just comes in a humble attitude, accepts what one wants. But the kings generally will always give in charity. And generally it's recommended one doesn't go to the kings to beg for one's own personal maintenance. Because the king, he takes taxes. And in those taxes, he takes the karma of his citizens. So the money that he gives in charity carries sin. And so when the Brahmin accepts that, means he accepts the sin of the king. The king is accepting all the sins of his people, and the Brahmin is accepting the sins of the king. So it's recommended for one's own personal benefit, one doesn't beg. So therefore, with kings, there's some difference in dealing. The kings, then, they need to be, the discussion must be very proper. They are on religious principles, they are seeing, they are considering, they are giving in charity, they are giving all these benefits. So in the same way, someone dealing with them must also reciprocate. So here then, Vamanadeva, for that purpose is saying these things. Another purpose is by glorifying and then saying how his father and the great ancestors and all these are great personalities, not ordinary persons, not normal. Then Bali Maharaj will be obliged to give. Vamanadeva wants to affect the benefit for the demigods. But to do that, then he must get the charity from Bali Maharaj. So he can't refuse. Because it's understood that his guru is not interested in entertaining the request of Vamanadeva. Because this, he knows that here's Vishnu, he's going to take everything away. So then it's being pointed out that everyone in your line was very charitable and very glorious, not very special. So one cannot, this cannot be avoided. So this will then inspire the king to follow his dharma, to give in charity. Because otherwise it's also his dharma to follow his guru. But here, then in this, he's also, Vamanadeva is cleverly pointing out also just the difference between the normal situations and this situation. We see that Hiranyakashipu, that he's pointing out how he was so focused on Lord Vishnu. And he continued this enmity towards Vishnu until his death. Other people don't have this kind of enmity, they cannot maintain, because it is due to ignorance. Ignorance is always changing. So we can see here actually that to be Hiranyakashipu, it cannot be done by a conditioned living entity. This can only be, this pastime can only be enacted by a liberated soul. Because only they can focus for so long on Vishnu. The truthist can't. Ignorance is the situation of which they are. And the situation's always changing. Ignorance controls our surroundings, what we're living in, then the gross body, the various paraphernalia that we have, all these different things, whatever, is dead matter that we have, then, or the bodies of, other living entities, which is dead matter, then this is controlled by ignorance. This is the bodily concept of life. So we see that's always changing. So because that changes, therefore one's attitude will also always be changing. One time we're happy, we're upset, we get angry with the person, and after a while we think, well, maybe I shouldn't be, and then again we become angry, like this. So the tendency is something goes wrong, we're upset, time goes by, things change, maybe we're not so disturbed, but we leave it, we don't worry about it. If someone does something again, then okay, yes, you can rekindle old, rivalries and that. But if they don't, then it's left. But we see here, there's nothing to inspire him to again be angry. He's always angry. He's completely focused. So we see only the transcendental persons, they can actually be focused all the time. So we see here is that his enmity towards Vishnu is special, it's different. So even there, it is being pointed out that the people in your line are not ordinary. They're not, just regular old people. Regular people can't be upset so long like that. But he, Hiranyakashipu, was able to be. As we see is that by any of the rasas, then Vishnu can be attained. By any of them. So here we see is by this anger, and Hiranyakashipu is attaining Vishnu. then Kamsa, out of fear, then he is contained. Like this, so they're, all of them are being elevated by always being absorbed in thinking of the Lord. So this is also rasa, but it's not favorable. The situation that they will attain is not considered favorable. Favorable, then, is when it is out of affection that one is always thinking of the Lord. That is what is recommended. But here, anything, as long as it's in connection with the Lord, that's better than not being connected with the Lord. So that is, so therefore it is considered good. Prahlad Maharaj is also in the line, he is a great personality, like that. So, his Bali Maharaj's father, so many, like this. His line is a very glorious line, even though it's a line of demons. But these are what you call the daityas. Daityas means you're, you know, high-class demons. You're refined, sophisticated demons. They follow the Vedic culture. You know, generally they even know the literatures, Vedic literatures. They know so many things. But they are inimical towards the Lord. It's interesting that that Hiranyakashipu's mentality, he's figuring that Vishnu has died, so he's gone. You know? And Prabhupada mentions about the Buddhist philosophy. It's interesting, though, that just a few chapters before, he's preaching to his mother and to the wife, you know, his sisters-in-law, that don't worry, things are temporary, the soul's eternal. He's all this nice philosophy he's talking. But then when it goes to, you know, his own life, that's another thing, you know. For others, it gets the work done, right? You talk all this nice philosophy, then they become thoughtful and peaceful. Yeah, it gets his work done. He wants peace in the house. But as far as his own mentality, then the philosophy applies to others, right? Isn't that how it goes? Philosophy is for others, right? You know, it's like in New York, okay, building went down, 5,000 people like this. You know, with karma and philosophy and these things happen and, you know, whatever, so many things. You know, but then if something happens to us, you know, what's this, what's going on, this is not right, this is not fair. So this is a very common mentality, is that we apply the philosophy to others. You know, that the intelligence is used for others, but for ourselves, we, you know, are very stick to the mind, right, the emotions and the desires. For ourselves, the mind is, you know, what's important. For others, the intelligence. So Hiranyakashipu then, also then here is, they can maintain anger because of false ego. That's another aspect. Is that the bodily concept of life then creates the ego. The mode of ignorance creates the ego and creates the body. So this body then is what we identify with. It means what we have, the gross things we have are specifically what we identify with. It's the most prominent of the egos. In that false ego, then we see the body, we are that body, we're that age, we're, you know, from whatever country, you know, whatever abilities, we're strong or we're weak or we're, you know, whatever it may be. So this is our main identity, you know, and how we identify others. You know, somebody's from this country, then, oh, they're from this, or they're like this, or they're like that. You know, we don't distinguish. Just they're from that country. Or they're dressed in a particular way, so we identify them. Oh, they're this group, by a bodily dress, by something external. So this is the grossest. That's our own identity. We give this identity to others. So from this, then anger can arise, because then the facilities, the what we're working with, when it works the way we want, then we're happy. But when it doesn't work the way we want, then we become angry. So we can maintain anger because of things not being under our control. When they're in our control, we're happy. When they're not in our control, we're not happy. So control basically means controlling the situation. The situation of the things within the situation. Like that, the gross aspects. And then the next is then nicer, but creates less anger. Or even if it's there, it's less subtle. I mean, it's less long term, is the by our intelligence or our senses. You know, someone's very intelligent, you know, that's nice, like that, or they have very good ability with their senses, you know, they can see nicely, or they can smell all kinds of wonderful things, or taste so many things, like this. Then they'll be known for that, but that's separate from the other, the gross bodily, that's the main. And then if that doesn't work nicely, one can become upset. But how long one will become upset? So that is also an identity, an ego. And more subtle is the mind, where it is what is our desire. That is who we are. My desire, I am this, I want this, this is me. Right? So many times we think, you know, I have to be true to myself, I have to do what I want to do. You know, I've done so much for others, and what do I have? So now I need to take care of, you know, myself, my own, you know, my own needs. And but what does that mean? It means that I have to take care of the dictates of the mind. So what the mind wants, we identify with that. That's me. That's why we see the word Atma can mean the body, it can mean the intelligence, it can mean the mind, it can mean the soul. Like this. So it's all these levels we take as ego, that this is me. I want this, I need this. So therefore, because we identify with the mind, therefore we identify that this is us. So that's the third ego, more subtle than that. And then the most subtle of the egos is just the false identity. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Like that, the polluted consciousness. So this ego then is the foundation of the other three. The consciousness is polluted. Then we see, then we want to enjoy. So when we want to enjoy, control and enjoy, then we have specifics. Okay, we want to control and enjoy everything. Yeah, that's nice. That's the general mood. But we have a specific. Okay, within controlling and enjoying the universe, you know, for this moment at least, I'd like to control and enjoy this thing. Right? So that then comes down to the mind. Then we will use the intelligence and the senses to get that, and the body to create the situation. You know, it'll move around. So like that, then we see. So if we change the consciousness, we change everything. So here then Vamanadeva is pointing out that he was able to maintain this anger. So we see, then therefore there must be something different about his consciousness. Right? It can't be the same. Because if the gross can be maintained, that's dependent upon the subtle. He can maintain this anger towards Vishnu all the time. So that means there must be the higher level of egos must also then be focused. So then that means actually his consciousness is focused on Vishnu. Right? Materialist can't be, because his consciousness is focused on matter. So he's angry. He may be angry at God that, you know, my mother died, my dog died, my hamster died, something died. You know? So then, but how long can you be unhappy? How long can you blame? You know, after a while, you move on. Because the consciousness is focused on matter. But here we see if he could focus his whole life until the moment he died on Vishnu, means therefore then the consciousness was focused on Vishnu. So we can see there, it's actually a glorification. Otherwise one would wonder, why is he speaking this? You know, he's telling the king that, yes, your ancestors were so great that they were angry with Vishnu until they died, chasing him around the universe. Where is this Vishnu? I'll kill him. You know, others would think, I don't say that. You know, we'll never get a donation out of this guy. But Balarama is very happily saying this because it's a glory, you know. It's a glory. How is he focused? Because that's what he's talking about. It's his focus on Vishnu. He's not talking about, you know, his demoniac activity. He's talking about, he was so focused. Because the ultimate in religion, he's pointing out how religious your family members are. The ultimate religion is to remember Vishnu. So therefore, if you take that, then Hiranyakashipu is a very religious person. Of course, there seemed to be kind of a disparity between his thoughts on Vishnu and his activities. But in any case, there was this aspect. While the ordinary person cannot do that because they are focused on matter, so they could not remember Vishnu for so long like that, everlastingly. Any questions or comments?
You said that the pastime of Hiranyakashipu and Kamsa, all these are basically arrangements of the Lord. But in these passages, you also find that these demons harass the devotees. So how could the pastime of the Lord also have harassment of the devotees?
Well, it's like this. You're in the material world, and material world means harassment. So then, there's a couple of ways. There's two ways to look at it. There is, or maybe three ways. One is that if the Lord's associates, if they go through all this harassment, and they are still able to remember the Lord, be Krishna conscious, be able to perform their duties, you know, not give up their duties because of all these difficulties, then it will set great example for others. And so we see that the harassment that those persons are getting is much greater than anything we'll experience. Therefore, it sets good example. But the only people who can do that, tolerate that, are the devotees. So therefore, it's part of the Lord's pastime, it's preaching. When the Lord comes, He comes to attract the mind of the devotees, like that, to establish religious principles, but more important is to attract the minds of the devotees, you know, who will come in the future. And at the same time, to reciprocate with His eternal associates, those who have that affection for Him. So those with affection, they interact, they remember Him. Those who are wanting to develop that infection, and they have, not infection, it is a kind of infection, but whatever, that affection, then they are inspired to see that even under these rigorous situations, these devotees still maintain Krishna consciousness, like that. Then another aspect is that if we take it into our realm, the conditioned souls, not the eternally liberated in that, is we have reactions that would naturally be coming to us from our previous activities. Now, they don't have to come, because when you take up devotional service, all these reactions actually are removed. By chanting Hare Krishna, they're all gone. One chanting can remove all the sin of the universe. Right? So then it'll be pointed out that's one pure chanting, but we're talking about all the sin of the universe. Right? That's okay. So how pure does it have to be to remove our sin? Right? We're not that great. One entity out of unlimited living entities. So that means, you know, it's not a great amount to remove ours. Sometimes we say, well, that's one pure chanting because, you know, our sins are so great. No, our sins aren't so great. They're small time. We sometimes like to be proud. Yes, so, you know, I did this, I did that, so many things, you know. No, it's nothing. Not so good. Hiranyakashipu, this is sinful. Ravana, that's sinful. You know, Jagai Mata, that's sinful. They are A-class sinners, right? We're just, you know, how much we do. How much can we enjoy? So, therefore, it's already removed when we take up chanting. But the problem is if it's completely removed, means it is removed, but if we do not experience some difficulties, we'll fall into the same problem that the demigods do. The demigods aren't so interested in progressive spiritual life. They're interested in spiritual life, but when things are going nice, then, you know, then they want to enjoy. When it's good, enjoy. You know, why not? When it's bad, then you remember the Lord. Right? Just like, you know, you're young, healthy, you know, dynamic, you can make money, you can enjoy yourself, do it. When you're old and your teeth are falling out and you can't do anything, then you take up, you know, spiritual life, chanting, all these things. And very common here in India. So what happens is because of the pious anything, then good results will come and then we'll forget. It's the nature. Because we're basically, the neophyte is turning to the Lord because of problems. Right? When everything's going fabulous, it's not. That's the time we're taking up Krishna consciousness. Right? If everybody checks, they'll see there was some anxiety, some difficulty, some doubt. And that doubt didn't number, it's just, you know, it wasn't that everything was happening, we're just going, this is too good to be true. No, this can't be real. You know, it's like, you know, I got to search for some higher hand. No, when it's happening, it's happening. And one is happy with it. One is absorbed. But when that abruptly stops, or has a difficulty, then, you know, then we have a problem. Then we have an anxiety. So we have to remember as we were inspired to take up Krishna consciousness because of anxiety. And we will be fully Krishna conscious when our inspiration for remembering the Lord or practicing Krishna consciousness out of affection for the Lord, out of a positive reason rather than a negative. Right? So therefore, until that has done, if that's established, then difficulties for such a devotee is an example to others because it doesn't bother them. But for the neophyte, such difficulties are there to inspire him to go forward in Krishna consciousness. They understand the material world is not a place to enjoy, or even within Krishna consciousness, applying material principles is not something to enjoy. You know, I had a position, you know, I want to enjoy and control and that, and it doesn't work. No one allows me to manage properly, people get in the way, people make politics. So then the result then should be either we understand that Krishna is, you know, doing these things, it's his pastime, whatever, he wants it to go like this, and so you remember him. Or we understand it's because I'm so attached to all these things, therefore Krishna is doing this, so that I remember him. So now, in getting these reactions, we can either get them from the devotees, or we can get them from the demons. Right? So when they come from the demons, then it's much easier to remember Krishna. Because then, you know, it's us and them. Right? So it's always easy. When it's them, then it's, yeah, then we can get together with the devotees, these demons. But when it comes through the devotees, then we might make the mistake to think that the devotee is my cause and problem. And then it'll be bad for our spiritual life. So in that way, then it is easier when it comes to the demons, especially such rigorous difficulties. Right? From the devotees, you get a little politics, a little this, a little that. But here's big, big stuff, you know, that's happening here. So generally you wouldn't find devotees doing that. So in that case, then, it's better to show these very intense pastimes that the demons are doing. But the principle's the same. So the Lord, according to what would be our karma, but it's not, the Lord arranges that we get something of it, a little bit, according to our conditioned nature, so that we will be inspired to give up our attachment to the material world and to become attached to Krishna. So therefore we can say it's your karma, because it's coming in the form of what your karma would be, but it's not, because you're chanting, there is no karma. But for our own benefit, because of our attachments and identifying with the body, with the mind, with the intelligence, like that, therefore Krishna gives us these like pokes to, you know, prods to inspire us through what would be. It's like a reflection of what would be our karma. Our karma, if we weren't devotees, would look like this. Therefore he gives that, because you'll relate to it. You know? It'll make some, because you are attached, so therefore something that comes in connection with your attachment will create some kind of a reaction. Well, if it's someone else's, what do you care? If I go out there and to bother you, I go out and break someone else's bicycle, what do you care? They're just thinking, what's he doing? But if I break your bicycle, then it's, hey. You know? So that's why it has to look like your karma. So this is what's meant by, it is our karma. We suffer the reactions of our karma. At the same time, it said we have no karma. So like that. But the thing to learn is, whatever is coming, whether it's through the devotees or through the demons, we should understand it's due to us, because we're not remembering. Therefore, Krishna is arranged. Or if we're always remembering, then what do we care? It's a nice example for others.
And let's finish with the fourth kind of four symbols, because I just lost the track. The fourth, did I just give the name of them? Four kinds of
the four symbols. Kinds of four symbols. I don't remember the name. There's terms for it. The subtlest is, means the first three we don't generally call false ego, but they are false ego. We generally call the fourth, when we think of false ego, it's the fourth one. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but this is last. The first is our polluted consciousness, because that then starts material existence. Then the next is the mind. What within material consciousness we want to identify, we want to enjoy or reject. Then more gross than that is then the intelligence and the senses, right? Because that's what gets it done, right? The first is just a general desire, like a concept, a consciousness. The next is one's desire. The next is one's endeavor, right? The intelligence and the senses. And the last is just the dead matter that we're dealing with. So that's what we generally call false ego. That false ego meaning the concept of identifying with the dead matter. But there's also false ego of identifying with the intelligence and senses. Then there's an ego of identifying with the mind. And then there's an ego of identifying with the I am the enjoyer. Right? It's called in Sanskrit Purushabhava. I have the mood of enjoyer. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, I am God. Then, if we get rid of that, then actually you've gotten rid of the whole thing. That's why we always talk about you become Krishna's servant, take up the serving mood, then it just goes away. So it's the essence. So what we see that it's interesting in the Vaishnava philosophy, the most essential principles, the most fundamental or most basic, are also the highest principles. So it's very interesting. The details are the lower principles. The highest principle is that everyone serves Krishna. So therefore, then, the first thing we tell you, we are servants of Krishna. Right? Then we build on that all the details that come down into our material existence. And then as we become purified, then those all fold up until we get back to just, I am servant of Krishna. But instead of it being a concept, or just being a theory, then it's practical. We are actually identified as Krishna's servant. So it's a very interesting phenomenon with the philosophy that what is the basic is also the highest. So sometimes we hear people will say that, you know, Prabhupada has given us the basics only, and someone else will give the higher. But actually on the transcendental platform, what the others are given is the lower. It's the detail of it. You know? It's the detail of it. Because it descends. If it was ascending knowledge, then you say, yes, Prabhupada's given the basic, and I will give the higher. Because ascending means the later is higher. But in descending, the later is lower. Right? That is the thing. So it's not actually. And then if someone says, no, we're taking from being a servant, and we're taking it to, you know, what kind of servant and, you know, all the transcendental rasa. Yes, but how do you get to that platform from which you can go? Otherwise, how do you go from there? Because that platform means the liberated platform. So how do you get to the liberation? Okay? So therefore, then, you can give those higher things, but you can't use it. Right? Just like a person with jaundice can't eat any ghee and this and that. And they have to learn cooking, you know, how to cook and boil this and that. And you're sitting there telling them about all these nice cheese sabjis, deep fried, with nice rich sauces. What they can't use it. Nice to think about, you know, creates a nice, you know, interest, but they can't do anything with it, you know. They become lusty rather than purified, you know. So that's the thing, is therefore you talk about them. So therefore, you know, doctor says they can boil that. Okay, then the detail is then this, something, that, you can put this spice, that, so many things. Yeah. But once they become healthy, then you can talk about these other things. So one has to understand the difference between principle and detail, like that. So principle is up, detail is down, like that. you can, there's gradation, of course, of principles, or principles within principles, principles as part of other principles, like that. That's fair. But still, the basic principle you will find, when you get to the top, it's still servant. Radharani is the top. She is the best servant of Krishna. Right? So then it still ends up as the same thing. She has love for Krishna. She has attraction for Krishna. She serves Krishna. And you can't get higher than that. So it still comes down to the same. Is that okay? So then, thank you. Gratulat Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Samyutta Bhaktivinoda 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 ki,